All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 139 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, I'm going to be finishing up the series, God willing, on God pleasers versus man pleasers. That's going to be from Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. That's going to be our first anchor scripture. Colossians 3, verse 22, it says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord." I'll read it again. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord." And then the second reading is 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, right? 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away." From such, turn away. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. So last week we said that we'll be discussing, Friday, we started off discussing God pleasers versus man pleasers. And in that first part, episode 138, I devoted time to talking about who a God pleaser is. What are some characteristics of a God pleaser? So now we understand what is expected of us. Let's look at key signs of a man pleaser. The thing is, when you understand what a man pleaser looks like, then it can be very instructive in helping you avoid those things that makes a person please man instead of pleasing God. The first characteristic of a man pleaser is that their audience determines what they do. They are controlled by their audience. So when men are around them, you see them, they put on a show. They are literally living their lives almost as actors or actresses. When people are around, their behavior is very different. But when they're alone, their behavior changes completely. So they do the right thing. But the audience they have determines what they do. I'll give you a few examples. I think that will buttress the point. For example, they're at work. If their supervisor is around, you see them working so hard. But then when their supervisor clocks out or goes for an errand and says, "Well, I'll be back in 3 hours," you see them, they sit down. Work is not supposed to have stopped, but for them, once the supervisor leaves, work leaves. That's an example of a man pleaser. The presence or absence of the supervisor determined exactly what they will do. I mean, look at this portion of scripture. It says, again, I can't remember the exact verse, but if you type in some of these words I'm saying, you'll find it. It says, "As you have done so," and I'm kind of paraphrasing, "as you have done so, not just in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So Paul, I believe it was Paul that gave out this verse, if I'm not mistaken, but it was talking about his presence and his absence. It was like, in my presence, I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But guess what? Also in my absence, in fact, I believe he used the word much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I like that he used the term own salvation. I believe that's the King James translation, own salvation. So that means, I guess there are a few lessons you can draw from this. One, yes, I'm here with you right now. It may be easy to obey God when, oh, Paul, your spiritual mentor is watching. But it's even more important after I leave, me, Paul, your spiritual mentor, that you keep doing those things. Now, I love what he said. He did not say work out your salvation. He said work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What was he saying? He was saying that, you know what? The responsibility for living a life of holiness and godliness, even in my absence, is a personal responsibility. Let me tell you this, folks that are listening to this podcast. Your salvation is like, after Jesus Christ has saved you, your walk with God is a very personal issue. It's a very, very personal issue. You cannot depend on other people to help you make heaven. Mm-mm. No, You cannot. I'm telling you, salvation is a very personal issue. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So the thing is, if your spiritual mentor is not around, is not watching you, it takes personal responsibility by the help of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. No one is going to force you. At least when someone is not around, no one is going to force you. But it's left to you to take that personal responsibility and say, you know what? I need to work out my own salvation, right? So that's a very good example of a man-pleaser concept there, where if someone is around, they do the right thing. If someone is out, they do the wrong thing, right? Or they stop doing the right thing. Like you see certain kids, once their parents leave home, once their parents go to work, they're completely different human beings. When their parents are home, they're completely different human beings. That's man-pleasing mentality, right? Another facet of this whole, my audience determines what I do, are you see it in a lot of churches today. I think I kind of alluded to this last week. We see a lot of churches today where you want to please man, right? Man in this case, your audience, both male and female. So you try to preach, you preach messages as a minister. You preach messages to appeal to their ears. But God may be telling you something in your heart that, wait, this is the real thing you're supposed to tell these people. But because you are afraid of what man will do to you, then you try to either dumb down the word and not say exactly what God is saying, or you interpret the word of God out of context so that, it doesn't convict people. If you're doing that, the Lord will help you. You need to repent. Because honestly, that's one problem in a lot of churches today. You don't hear the true word of God. You don't hear the true and diluted word of God. In fact, to be honest with you, it's not just in churches, but in parenthood. You see many parents today, they are afraid to, they want to be friends of their kids. But the thing you need to remember is, you are not supposed to be, I'm not saying you shouldn't be your child's friend. But you should be your child's friend second, you should be their parent first. You're a steward of those children. What are you doing? You see some parents, because they always want their children to love them, they tell them good words, they never chastise them, they never discipline them. And then you wonder, when your child turns 16, 17, you see them start displaying certain behaviors. Let me tell you this, parents, it's a function of what you did when they were young. What you did as little as when they were 1 year old, 6 months old, you did not establish any modicum of discipline, right? So the thing is, you cannot be a man pleaser. The man in this case is the child. You cannot be a man pleaser. No, you need to help their destiny. The Bible says that those that God loves, he disciplines. And I love the part of scripture that says that God is no respecter of persons. No, God is not trying to please man. No, he's trying to help your destiny. Sometimes helping a person's destiny involves inflicting some kind of discipline, involves inflicting some kind of pain. Do you think that Jesus Christ, do you think that God was, so happy to send his son to die on the cross? This is your own son, your only begotten son. But you sent him there because you knew what will come out of that, right? So I'm encouraging you today, stop this man-pleasing mentality. It's very destructive. Many homes have been destroyed by a man-pleasing mentality. Right? You're trying to please your children. Oh, I want my children to love me. I don't want them to get angry with me. But then you don't correct them. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he grows up, he will not depart from it. The Bible also says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will drive it away. Discipline. It can be just introducing consequences for certain bad actions, right? Your children, temporarily, they may not love you. But long term, they'll be grateful for you, right? I remember when I was growing up in Nigeria, sometimes I would get some very, it's not sometimes, I got some very strict discipline from my parents. Did I enjoy it at the time? No. Was I happy with it at the time? No. But now as I see my life, I'm like, I'm really grateful for that discipline I got from my parents. It may not have been easy then, but boy, have they made my life easier now, right? So it's very important, that man-pleasing mentality, you really need to be careful, right? You shouldn't, you see this sometimes also operating families where one member of the family is a Christian and the other members of the family are unbelievers. The thing is, you see, these people that are Christians, sometimes they change their behavior so that their family members will not ostracize them. I'm not saying, again, remember what I said last time, speaking the truth in love. You should be a light shiner, right? You should show people that God is good. You should show people the wonderfulness of the life of Christianity. But you shouldn't change your behavior or stop being a witness for Christ because you want to be among the crowd. No, many times when you are doing the right thing, you're not going to be among the crowd. Many times when you choose to please God, you're not going to be among the crowd. Man pleasers are in the crowd. God pleasers many times are not in the crowd, right? But you see some people, when they're Christians, when their family comes around that are unbelievers, they stop doing things that they normally would do. You see them, they no longer pray. You see them, words that they will ordinarily not tolerate in their homes, they start tolerating those words in their homes. People can say whatever they want, right? But how can you say you are showing the light of God when you are tolerating those things, right? You see, there's this big thing of tolerance. You need to be tolerant. You need to be tolerant. Let me tell you this. In many spheres, tolerance is man-pleasing behavior. Like, oh, I need to please man. But you are not pleasing God. I'm telling you, sometimes when you are pleasing, when you please man, it's not sometimes. Many times when you are trying to please man, God is not pleased. Many times when you are trying to please God, man will not be pleased with you. The Bible says that you'll be hated by many for my name's sake. Right? In fact, many times you will be in the minority. In fact, I believe there's a podcast I made a few weeks ago called The Righteous Minority. Many times when you are doing the will of God, when you're trying to please God, you'll be in the minority. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, and I will accept you unto myself. Come out from among them. Come out. Come out means come out and please the Lord. Come out and seek the Lord. Don't stay with the comfort of the crowds. The comfort of the crowds is the comfort of man pleasing. But again, the person that will give you victory in the end is God. Right? So just be careful of, again, the man-pleasing mentality. I really feel like one of the best ways to really discuss this topic is just by supplying examples. From the examples, you can learn some really, really good, really, really good, really, really good principles, right? Really, really good principles, right? So I'll just encourage you, be careful, be careful. Don't say, oh, because I love someone, I don't want someone to be offended with me. I can't chastise them. I can't call them out, right? You see, sometimes people avoid confronting because they are afraid, because they are like, ah, what will this person think of me? No, but the thing is, if you know that someone is in the wrong, you know that a person is heading in the wrong direction, God wants you to correct them. Again, in love. In love. That's the part that is lost on many people these days. They believe that if they want to make their point, even if you're making the right point, make it in love. Don't make it with hate. Don't make it with anger. Right? When you bring a good message with anger as your backdrop, people will not listen to you. When you bring the truth, when you bring the right message with love, people will listen. If love is your backdrop, people will listen to that. Will listen to that, right? But again, don't let that man-pleasing mentality make you not correct people that should not be corrected, right? Because if those people are not corrected, they will continue down that wrong path. And that wrong path will eventually lead to their destruction. But if you correct them, they may be angry with you temporarily. But after a while, they will head in the right path. When those people end in the right destination, I tell you, they will remember you. They will remember you for being a helper of their destinies, right? And again, one final thing I think I want to say here about this man-pleasing mentality. Because in the two podcasts I've been referring to man-pleasers as, oh, trying to please other men, other men, other men, other men. Do you know that sometimes man-pleasing mentality, the man in that man-pleasing mentality can be you? I know some of you may be like, ah, really? Yeah, let me explain. If, for example, you are living your life for your own pleasures, anything your heart desires, anything your flesh desires, you submit to it, you are pleasing man, you are not pleasing God. Look at what Jesus Christ said when he was about to go on the cross. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup be taken away from me. That is what Jesus wanted. That was the man-pleasing angle to things. But look at what he said after that. He says, howbeit, not my will, but thine be done. So he was saying, God, this is what I want. But God, I will go with what you want. God, me, I could please myself by doing this. But God, I would rather go with what you want. That's God-pleasing mentality right there, right? So if you're living life for your own pleasures, everything your heart desires, you get it. You are living a man-pleasing lifestyle. You're not living a God-pleasing lifestyle, right? It is not the mindset of Christ. The mindset of Christ is not my will, but thine be done, right? Not my will, but thine be done, right? So I'm encouraging you today, what side do you want to choose? Do you want to be a man-pleaser or do you want to be a God-pleaser? The man-pleaser is a broad road, is a road that is crowded, is a road that has many people on it, but it ends in destruction. The God-pleasing road is a narrow road, is not crowded. In fact, you may be alone on that road, but it leads to life, and there are very few people that take it. So my question to you today is, what road would you take? What road will you take? I pray that the Lord will give you the grace and the wisdom to make the right decision in the name of Jesus. Now, one of the first most important decisions you can make in your life is to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the biggest decisions you can make. You cannot start working out a salvation you have not received. To receive that salvation, you need to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I'll encourage you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I confess all my sins. I forsake all my sins. I repent of all my sins. I turn away from all my sins. I believe you shed your blood. You died on the cross. You were buried. You rose again on the third day to give me a new life. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to live a life that pleases you all the days of my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for myself and everyone else listening to this podcast. I pray for the grace to be a pleaser of God, not to be a pleaser of man. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us for every form of godliness that has denied the power of God to transform. Help us, Lord, instead to put you first, to make you our number one priority. Your word says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Help us to seek your kingdom first. Help us to put you first over man. And as we do so, Lord, let all be well with us. And in all things, let us be more than conquerors. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Now, for those that said the prayer of salvation, congratulations. You're a child of God. I'll encourage you to do three things. Number one, find a Bible. Find a translation you understand. The New Living Translation is awesome. Read it and do what it says. You know, find a Bible reading plan online that takes you through the Bible in a logical way. Read the Bible, do what it says. You can even start in the book of John. It will tell you all about the love of God. Number two thing you should do is listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. Episodes 96 to 101 talks about the five basic responsibilities of a believer. It will tell you some specific things you can do to grow in your walk with Christ. And then three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a man-pleasing church, but a God-pleasing church. A Bible-believing church. A church that preaches the true and diluted word of God. Not a church that twists the word of God to match with the times. No, that's not a place you want to be. I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. But there are many, and he has many parishes all over the world. But there are also many wonderful Bible-believing churches as well, all over the world. So I'll encourage you again, seek to please God, not man. As you please God, all will be well with you. And God will then grant you favor with man as well. Thank you for listening to me today. Until next Friday, have a wonderful rest of your day. Have a wonderful week ahead. And God bless you. Shalom.